as many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Whether we admit it or not, and not that it's right by any means, but we've all seen people that we've regarded to be unattractive. Some tell us, however, that our thoughts about others might actually say a whole lot more about us than they say about the other person. It just might be that if I am irritated by people who look like they have spent their life at 24-hour fitness, it just might be because I know that I need to spend some time at 24-hour fitness, swimming laps in the pool, if you know what I mean. I'm sure there's a psychological explanation to it. If messiness bothers me, or poverty, or disfigurement, or people with developmental disabilities, you name it, it might have nothing to do with those people at all. It might be something going on deep inside of me that troubles me. And all those things are simply a mirror into who I am and what makes me tick. Look into the mirror closely enough, and we see things, well, we don't like. Try it sometime. Go into Macy's or Nordstrom's. Go to that cosmetic counter and wait for that amazingly gorgeous young lady to go and serve some other customer. And then sneak a peek. Look at yourself in one of those magnifying mirrors, and you'll see it right away. All your spots and wrinkles and blemishes. None of us have perfect complexions. Not even the movie stars. Not even that glamorous lady selling the cosmetics. Those new ultra high-definition cameras are not the friend that analog video has been all our lives. All of our spots and wrinkles are now made visible in high definition for everyone to see. None of us are perfectly complected, body or soul. And the root of the problem is our sin. The original sin we've each inherited from Adam, and all the sin that we have added to it, it all leads to the inevitable decay of our appearance. But far more serious than our outer appearance is our spiritual appearance, our spiritual condition. By nature, each of us, without Christ, is ugly. Not the ugly that you can see in a mirror, but ugly with an ugliness you can see when you look into the perfect law of God. God's law, like a mirror, shows us our faults. A lot of times people think of the Ten Commandments as rules for living, and in a sense, they are. But the best way to use the Ten Commandments is to ask of each of them, what is it that God is trying to protect for me? And how do I say no to God and his protection? No other gods, God says, because there are no other gods who love you. And we say, no thanks. There are scads of other gods out there who promise to love me back and give me what I want. I don't need your protection from them, God. And those so-called gods rob us of life itself. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery, steal, or bear false witness against one another. You shall not covet your neighbor's stuff. A good hard look into the magnifying mirror of the law and we see our sin. All those places and all those times we've said no thanks to God. We see sin and we see death. For the wages of that sin is death. And we see that death has a friend, many friends who tag along with it. Friends by the names of abuse and genocide and injustice and disease and violence and murder and war and disasters and famine and pestilence. All of it proof of the brokenness and the sorrow of life that our sin has introduced into a universe God once called very good. Appearances can be deceiving. This is a beautiful planet, but put it under a microscope and you see the disaster sin has wrought. Appearances can be deceiving. If anyone in the history of the whole world should have been desirable, it should have been Jesus, sinless and perfect in every way. And yet, what does our text prophesy about him? As many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Think of the pictures that have been drawn and painted, and the actors who have portrayed Christ in films. Jesus is set before us as an impressive, dignified, majestic person, a perfect physical specimen. The always happy Jesus, the always smiling Jesus. Whatever his appearance, the Gospels tell us that there were many times in his life when this prophecy of Scripture was fulfilled. Jesus was spurned and rejected by men and women alike. People turned away from him, closed their ears to his preaching. They despised what he said. Throughout Lent, we are mindful of the events that will take place during Holy Week. Isaiah's description of the suffering servant's appearance finds its literal fulfillment in the physical violence Jesus suffered during his passion. I don't know about you, but I couldn't watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which was only a movie, and not look away. On the set of that movie, great care was taken so that they made sure that no one got hurt. But in reality, Jesus got hurt. He was brutally beaten, scourged, and crucified. He was ugly to the eye, his hands and feet bleeding, pierced by iron nails, lashes from a whip exposing muscle and bone, his thorn-encircled brow, his bloody hair, a jagged gash in his side from a soldier's spear. Who would want to fix their gaze on such a sight? But think about why Jesus became so ugly, and your view of him changes. The ugliness we see is the ugliness of our sins that he placed upon himself. His disfigurement, his wounds, his scars were inflicted by our wrongdoings. He was marred because he took our trespasses upon himself. He was nailed, literally, because he put himself in between us and the justice of God. The scorn and derision we feel toward others lands like spit on his face. The forgiveness we fail to offer others smacked like slaps across his cheeks. Our sin, Jesus took upon himself, and for that reason, Jesus' appearance is deceiving. Before us, we see the ugliness that sin does to man. But in reality, he is majestic beyond comparison, for his wounds have earned for us eternal life. And the most wonderful news of all, this servant who was despised and rejected receives any and all who come to him. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. Does gazing into the mirror of the law reveal to you the brokenness of your sin? One look should cause you to shudder. Does the magnifying mirror of God's word show you an ugliness that is nothing but repulsive? Well, as ugly as the mirror of God's holy law shows us to be, not one of us is so ugly that he cannot love us. For the ugliness of our sin, he has taken away. By the washing of water with the word, he has cleansed us of our sins, and he presents us to himself as a radiant church, a radiant people, without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, but holy and blameless. That's how you appear to God when he looks at you through the blood of his precious Son. That's the way you appear to God, robed in Christ's righteousness, adorned with the splendor of Jesus' holiness. And because of that, we just might dare take the chance to see each other in the same light. Because of Christ, we can say with Isaiah chapters later, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul exults in my God, for he has clothed me in garments of salvation. With a robe of righteousness, he has covered me." Marred beyond human semblance, he is our beautiful Savior. Appearances can be so deceiving. In the name of Jesus, amen.